The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Over the line, Orr throws it. He's in. A backhander and a save by Tony Esposito.
Stan Mikita was a small guy, very cocky in those days.
A right hand by Magnuson, and he puts that guy down.
Magnuson trying to tear his hair out.
NBC Chicago's James Neveau.
Murphy picked out of midair.
Odyssey Chicago Hockey Insider, Jay Zawoski.
No more! Hawks win again! Chris Chelios in overtime!
Part of Blue Wire Podcast.
Came off the boards, he shoots, he's going! Down to the Thames! A game-winning goal! The Hawks live to fight another day!
Falling back, Sofala drives, gets it from Scott!
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Chicago's going to be in last place forever.
Here's the center for Thames, he got a breakaway! Thames to win the game!
To you by Triple Threat Sports, Fry the Coop, and by the Since In-Law Group. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome in, friends. This is indeed the Madhouse Chicago. Hold on a second. I'm going to pass the puck back just like the Islanders did. Just pause. Pause. That's the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. I'm James Neveau. We are coming to you after the Blackhawks beat the Islanders in what was a very entertaining and then boring and then entertaining again game. And Jay Zawoski of 670, or sorry, WBBM Odyssey. I think that's the first time I've screwed that up since you left the score.
That's actually,
I got so wrapped up in my Islanders joke that I completely messed up the intro.
It's funny.
My apologies, Jay.
It's impressive.
You do a lot of good things.
No, it's very impressive that you've not done that yet, because there's a whole portion of people that think I still work at the score.
No, man, you are with Odyssey, you're with WBBM, you're with the I'm Fat Podcast. Like, you,
I am,
have a very well-defined and awesome job now that involves podcasting and creating contact with Nick Shepkowski, by the way.
Yeah, I had to throw Shep
on. That was
on.
Great.
Yeah, for some Notre Dame conversation. Why not, right? That was a big story of the week. So, yeah, a lot of fun. You know what's funny? Like, my old job, people were really interested in. Like, oh, you work at the score, huh? That must be cool. I'm like, yeah, you know, I tell them a story or two. And I'm like, what do you do now? I'm like, oh, I develop a podcast, and you already see him like tune out and start to faint. I'm like, oh, good. I don't have to talk about my job anymore. It's wonderful. I very much appreciate that no one cares about my job anymore. Anyway.
Any hoodles.
Thanks for joining us on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. You can make sure you follow us on all of our social medias. We are on Twitter at Madhouse Pod, Instagram Madhouse _ Pod, and Facebook Madhouse Hockey Pod. We have our TeePublic shop. I think there's a sale going on. If not, there'll probably be one tomorrow. They are constant. They are never ending. So stock up for the holidays. Something I failed to mention. I wrote a Hawks book. It came out last year. If you're looking for a last-minute gift for the Hawks fan in your life and you'd like a signed, personalized copy of my book, go to madhousepod.com/book. Fill out that form, and we will ship you a book. Signed,
obscene,
sealed,
messages, yeah. More expensive, by the way.
Whatever you want. I will write it. Whatever you, I'm like Ron Burgundy. Whatever you put on that note, I will sign it. So 20 bucks signed and shipped. I've got a case of books left to go. Once they're gone, but for the holidays, I've got 20 at a special price of 20 bucks signed and shipped out right to your door in time for Christmas. So madhousepod.com/book. All right, Hawks win. 3-2 in a shootout in like one of the most even games I've ever seen in my life. And it was only appropriate that it went to overtime. And then the Islanders like played and rewind. I don't know what the hell that was. It was bizarre.
There were two theories that I saw posited on social media. And for listeners who missed the game, essentially what ended up happening was for probably the first 2 minutes or so of overtime, the Islanders had won the faceoff to start out the overtime.
Shocking.
They kept passing the puck back across the blue line into the neutral zone, and then occasionally even into the defensive zone. They slowly churned through their players. They just kind of looked like they weren't in any particular rush. The theories that I saw posited that perhaps They were trying to wear out the Blackhawks top line, knowing that they had played last night, and they knew Seth Jones and Patrick Kane, who were both on the ice to start the overtime, knowing that both of those guys had logged a lot of minutes the last two games. And then the other theory was that they were playing a little bit nervous and trying to play to get to the shootout because they had lost 10 straight games prior to this one.
I'm going
to
go with option B because Seth Jones and Patrick Kane were basically standing like, what are they doing? It's not like they had to skate with a lot of effort to watch the Islanders skate backwards. But yeah, anyway, interesting shootout. Not a lot going on. I'm sorry, overtime. Not a lot going on. But the shootout, Patrick Kane is the one shooter to score. And James, I have a nugget for you.
Nugget.
All right, let's see. Play along in your cards if you didn't see Mario Tirabassi's tweet. That was the.
We shouldn't have even told him he tweeted it because then they can like look it up and cheat.
Well, if you let me say it quickly enough.
That's fair.
Jerk. Okay, so that was the...
If you're driving, do not look this up.
No, please don't. I'm going to tell you in a moment. That was the 21st game-deciding shootout goal for Patrick Kane. Good for second all-time. James, I'll give you 7 million guesses, and you'll never guess who number one is. Current player.
I was going to say, is it a current player? Obvious guess, I think, off the bat for me would be Jonathan Toews.
Correction. I'm sorry. He is playing in Europe this year.
Oh, okay.
And this is all time in the NHL, not just the Hawks.
Well, then, obviously, Jonathan Toews would not be the answer that I would select.
No. This is so second all time in NHL history, played in the league last year, is now playing in Germany.
Now, that also removed it because I would have said something like Pavel Datsyuk or Ilya Kovalchuk then. Mm-hmm.
Nope. Right, you got 6,999,997 more guesses.
Is Jaromir Jagr still kicking around? No, there's no way he would have had that many shootout goals.
No, and this guy played in the NHL last year. I'm just going to give you the answer because you'll never get it.
Okay.
Franz Nielsen.
Oh, good God.
Has 23 game-deciding shootout goals.
It would happen in a game against the Islanders.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, how long?
How the hell did he have that many?
I don't know. It's bizarre, but that's a nugget courtesy of Mario Tirabassi. I thought that was fascinating. So Kane, second all time, and I believe he will surpass Franz Nielsen. I think he'll get two more shootout winning goals. But let's get into this game a little bit because, look, you're playing without your best defenseman is Seth Jones. That's a given. But you're without Connor Murphy. You're without Jake McCabe. You're playing back-to-back nights. Look, the Islanders are really struggling this year for myriad reasons, but this was a team that was awesome last year and had cup aspirations this year. And last night you played the Red Hot Rangers in a really even, solid game. I think you kind of have to be pleased with the outcome. And I know giving up a game-tying goal with, 3.8 left on the clock when it was all said and done is not ideal. But look, man, the Hawks have played well over their last two games. They only got 2 points out of it, but thank God they got those two because they certainly deserve to win this game, I thought.
I think that's a very fair point to make, and you did allude to the struggles that the Islanders have been having recently, and I know that we've kind of pointed out occasionally on this podcast that some of the Blackhawks victories under head coach Derek King, by the way, very snazzily dressed this evening, I
very
will say,
snazzy.
About... A Derek King. Some of the victories that have been had under him have been against kind of some weaker teams who have been kind of scuffling a little bit. But you know what? These were not games that the Blackhawks are winning earlier in the season. They just weren't. And I think that we saw a really solid defensive effort at all levels from the Blackhawks tonight. There was a stretch in the second period of the game that the Islanders were just generating shot after shot after shot. The Blackhawks kept blocking them, and that's not something that they were really doing a ton of earlier in the season. There would be a lot of kind of peppering of Marc-Andre Fleury going on in that situation, but I thought the Blackhawks were doing a really nice job of forcing the Islanders into kind of some low-danger chances in situations like that. And yes, the Islanders did have their share of good chances that Marc-Andre Fleury was able to stop tonight, but I also thought that they were doing a really nice job of kind of clogging stuff up and really playing a simple, straightforward defensive game tonight, and I thought they did a really nice job of kind of limiting those kind of hair-raising moments, and I think that's been kind of a hallmark of some of their wins this season, and I think you kind of phrased it perfectly earlier in the year when you said that every single Blackhawks game, as soon as they, you know, would hit any kind of adversity, it would just be like a chaotic gong show going on. Mm-hmm. This game never got out of control like that, even in situations where the Islanders were kind of pressing a little bit. And I have to give the Blackhawks credit for how composed they stayed and how disciplined they stayed throughout the game.
And I think that's sort of been the Derek King message since he arrived, right? Kind of with everybody. Just keep it simple. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Not everything needs to be complicated. And you heard even the players sort of echo that when they were asked, you know, early on in King's tenure, like, what are the differences you notice? And everyone just sort of said, like, oh, yeah, it's way less complicated. We're not thinking as much out there. And it reflects when you look back at, like, the latest stretch of Hawks games, they're not giving up 4, 5, 6 goals. It's 2 goals. It's 3 goals. And occasionally you'll give up 4, right? Like, those games are going to happen. But for the most part, the defense has been really sound. And that, to me, has been the primary difference. There's not a wild stylistic or system change, but it's the way they're executing things, right? It's just the way that they're making safer plays or skating the puck out of trouble instead of just kind of throwing it blindly to a spot, which is what seemed like what they were doing under Jeremy Cowan. I think that what Derek King has brought in, and Mark Crawford, of course, deserves a lot of credit because he's the guy kind of really running practices and things from all reports. He's just, remember how he said, why can't the Hawks just be normal earlier in the year?
Mm-hmm.
They're a normal hockey team right now. Are they any good? I don't know. It remains to be seen. They're 8-4 under Derek King, which is a good record, obviously. And it still is very unlikely they're going to make the playoffs, but you're seeing them compete. You're seeing them play hard. And you're seeing some guys, you know, come up and play and look pretty good. Like Ian Mitchell, I think has played 2 of his best games as a Hawk back-to-back in this one. 16:22 of ice time at even strength for Ian Mitchell tonight. That's crazy. I feel like I barely noticed him, and that's a good thing with a young defenseman, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're scoring, you want a guy who's going to keep the puck out of trouble. Josiah Slavin, I love this guy, man. This might be my new guy. He does not look like he wants to go back to Rockford ever. I don't know if he had a bad experience at the world famous Taco Bell there or something, but Josiah Slavin,
the best Mexican restaurant in Rockford.
That's
don't
right.
Forget.
Exactly. He's come in and has really fit in, and I like his patience with the puck. There will be times where you can see him maybe force a pass or rush a pass, but he takes an extra look, an extra step or two, takes his time and makes a really nice play. You've seen him generate some scoring chances off his passing several times. Remember, he set up the Seth Jones goal the other night on a nice sort of peel pass on the boards. I've seen a lot of good things from him. Riley Stillman returns to the lineup and looks good, right? Everyone's kind of, you know, you're seeing this thing sort of start to take shape, and you're starting to see with some consistency in the lineup, some consistency in the lines, what we all sort of thought this team was going to look like when the season began, right? Like what they're playing like now is kind of what we expected all along. If things go just right for them, they might squeak into the playoffs. That's the kind of team they are right now. It's just too bad it took however many games to move on from Jeremy Cowan to get to this point.
Yeah, and I think that you're kind of pointing out those guys as kind of making some subtle differences in the bottom six and the bottom pairing. Those points are well taken. The Blackhawks were a team that we kind of had questions about their depth coming into the season, what kind of roster construction we were going to see in that area, and it's kind of papering over some of the issues they've been having with their lack of top-end scoring this season, which has probably been their kind of biggest bugaboo, and the reason that they are not in a playoff spot right now is because they're just not getting any offensive production at all from those Kirby Docks and Jonathan Taveses at the top of their lineup, and those bottom six guys kind of jumping in and helping out, creating those types of opportunities and keeping them in games with some really solid defensive work, I think is really been a key under Derek King and really has been kind of a hallmark of his success so far. I do also want to shout out another player that I thought really had a nice night tonight, and we sing his praises constantly, so it's kind of become rote at this point just to always say, oh yeah, and Brandon Hagel had a really nice game. But he had another one tonight, had a goal tonight. It looked like a shin pad goal from what I had seen when he had scored it. Had a hit tonight, just all over the place. on both ends of the ice, just constantly generating energy, which is such a critical thing. When you're coming off of a back-to-back type of game like this, you always need kind of that spark plug guy, and that is absolutely what Brandon Hagel keeps providing to this team night in and night out. He was one of their top Corsi performers tonight. I thought he had a really nice night on both ends of the ice, and it's such a joy to watch him play when that energy level is there and when he is kind of in full health, because he is such a difference maker, and that is not at all the kind of trajectory that I could have seen his career kind of taking.
No, there doesn't seem to be. I think part of us, like, going into the season was wondering, will there be a correction? Like, is he just going to sort of regress into what we all sort of thought he was like bottom six guy who you play sparingly in a checking role? Nope. Hagel has exceeded expectations this year offensively, and he's just every night he becomes one of their most reliable players. Two more guys I kind of want to mention in that vein, and funny enough, they are number one and two in possession in this game. Henrik Borgstrom really starting to come into his own. You're seeing him with some confidence with the puck. I know the points aren't coming yet, but you're seeing him really kind of, the game appears to be slowing down for him a little bit, right? Like anytime a new player comes into the league, it's that adjustment. Right from the European hockey to the American hockey, it takes a little while. He's had, I think, what now, 8 games in a row for Borgstrom, and you're starting to see, okay, now I see what Stan Bowman liked so much when he made that trade with Florida to get him. He was 72.73 in the Corsi in this game, 66.67 in the Fenwick, just 8 shot attempts for, 3 against with him on the ice. I thought he was really solid. Top to bottom, 5 scoring chances for and 0 against with him on the ice. So Borgstrom starting to find his game. Now he's got to find the back of the net like so many other Hawks. And a guy we talked about at length on the last podcast, Erik Gustafsson, 71.43 in Corsi, 70.59 in Fenwick, 15 shot attempts for with him on the ice, 6 against. He's really playing well. And there was another, probably The Athletic, wrote about what Derek King wanted differently from Erik Gustafsson, and it was sort of the same thing. Keep it simple, make the safe play. When the time comes, you'll get your opportunity to activate, and he did. 18:55 of ice time, 3 shots on goal, 2 more shot attempts, and he was also credited with a hit in this game. He is starting to become a, I don't want to say reliable defender. That's probably stretching it a little bit, but he is an adequate defender, which is something more than I think any of us predicted would happen when they brought him back this season.
I think my only small criticism of him, and I will say small with a small case C, because he has been playing
small starts with an S, James.
Shut up.
You said a small case C.
I quit the podcast. You're on your own, you jerk.
I know what you were saying. I'm kidding.
Any hoodles. I wanted to say that I think that you still want to see a little bit more offense out of him. Just if he's going to be an adequate defender, that's something that you want to see out of him, especially if he's going to be the quarterback on the top power play unit, which he still is, even amid all the changes that the Blackhawks are kind of making on their power play units. I would like to see a little bit more offense out of him. We saw some of that tonight. He did get an assist tonight, did have 3 shots on goal tonight. Just want to see him kind of continue to trend in that direction. He only has 2 points, I think, his last like 14 games, if I remember correctly, including tonight. So need to see a little bit more of that from him. And then adequate defense and a little extra scoring from him, I'm comfortable putting him in that bottom pairing if that's going to be the case. I still want Connor Murphy and Jake McCabe back in the lineup as soon as I can get them back in the lineup. But as long as you're deploying Gustafsson correctly and not relying on him to do too much, I'm comfortable putting him into the spots that they've been putting him in for right now. He's playing some of his best hockey that he's played as a Blackhawk, and it's been a pleasant change of pace for him. I've really liked that.
Yeah, and I'm, I sort of wonder, you know, as Derek King comes in and changes things here, now 12 games into his tenure as interim head coach, the focus was definitely defense, and it needed to be, right, for everybody. The Hawks were just a sieve. and giving up chance after chance after chance, night after night after night. When you got Marc-Andre Fleury with like a sub 85 save percentage, that tells you that your defense is horrible, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, like the eye test wasn't enough. When you have like one of the best goalies in the history of the game looking like, what's the goalie's name in Slapshot? I'm blanking on his last name. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about, but just sort of like flailing wildly in the net. It's just, he's turned it around, and his big turnaround has been a huge part of why the Hawks have been better, but it's also a product of just the team defense being better. Denny Lemieux was his name. Thank you.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. I don't know why I went to JP.
I was blanking on it, too.
Yeah, Denny Lemieux is a Slapshot goalie. As people are screaming at me, it's Denny Lemieux, you ass!
They all drove off the road after trying to look up earlier who had the most game-deciding goals in shootouts. They have now looked up the Slapshot goalie and have also driven off the road again.
Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Fry the Coop and frythecoop.com. Go get the best damn hot chicken you've ever had. You're in Oaklawn, Elmhurst, Westtown, Prospect Heights, Tinley Park. If you're in the Chicagoland area, and chances are you are, there is a Fry the Coop near you. Go to frythecoop.com. Check out their menu. Go dine in. They're open for business. They've got a great craft beer selection. I wonder if they have any of that chicken versus unicorn Pipeworks collaboration left. I'm going to have to call and check. Or just maybe go find out for myself. That sounds even better. Do that. Go to frythecoop.com. Get some damn good hot chicken. All right, James. A guy that you and I have been really hard on for the last month. Kirby Dach seems to be getting the message to shoot the damn puck, doesn't he? Have you noticed the last few games he's been firing more often? He had a chance in overtime, and I wanted to go back and rewind, but here's what happened. My game recording cut off, and the post-game recording started as soon as Taves like fed that goal mouth pass to him, so I couldn't rewind and watch to see if his stick was on the ice, but he had several chances in front of the net where he was not hesitating to shoot the puck. It seems like Kirby is starting to get the message about shooting the damn puck.
Well, he was probably told either start shooting the puck or find an apartment in Rockford for a while because we're getting tired of your nonsense. And yes, I was going to point that out on this edition of the show because I did notice it, especially tonight, where I thought that he was getting into some really good scoring areas. I feel like he had been a little bit in previous games, but tonight it was really noticeable that Kirby Dach is kind of starting to find those open seams, and he's kind of driving into them with a little more intensity, a little more purpose. He's getting to those spots before they can kind of close up, and he's going to score eventually. I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a run coming here for Kirby Dach, assuming he can actually put the puck on nets. Frequently, he had a couple of missed opportunities in recent games, but I do kind of feel what you feel, that the tide may be starting to turn a little bit with him just because of the fact that he is getting to those areas, and he's getting really nice passes from his line mates in those spots too. It's just they've maybe been just a skosh off or bouncing a little bit. I feel like those bounces are going to even out a little bit, and if he keeps getting to those areas, he's going to start putting the puck in the net, and that's exactly what they needed from him, is for him to kind of start playing with a little more assertiveness, a little more intensity in those areas, and just like you said, being willing to, you know, let her rip and shoot that puck. And he is really starting to do that, and I was going to point that out tonight because I definitely thought that it was noticeable, and having kind of focused on him as much as we have in recent weeks, just as kind of a, you know, a symptom of kind of what's been ailing the Blackhawks, I feel like he's maybe gonna start coming close to turning this thing around a little bit this season.
I'm looking at the Natural Stat Trick individual event map, so you can go on that site, pick the Blackhawks game, and as you scroll down the menu, you see individual event maps. You select the player, and you can sort of look at everything they did on the ice. I'm looking at all four of the shot attempts that Kirby Dach had. They're all in or right in front of the goal. One of his two shots on goal is actually like a 50-50 in the crease, in the slot sort of a thing. The other three are right on top of the crease. He, like you said, is getting those chances right up close. He's got the ability to get that shot off quickly, and I think that might be part of it, is saying, look, we don't want you playing on the perimeter. right? Because all you're going to do is look to pass and you're not going to be aggressive. If you're in front and the puck comes your way, you're going to want to shoot that puck. Your instinct's going to be get it on net quickly. And that's what he did. I thought he deserved a penalty the Hawks deserved a power play. He was pulled down. And I think it was I don't know if it was overtime or the third, but it was the overtime. Or no, it was the third period. He was pulled down like right in front of the Islanders net, but still got a shot on goal. That's where he's going to have his success. Yes, he's got skill. Yes, he's got great hands. But more than anything, he's got great size. Look at Anders
Lee. Size, man. Yes.
When I look at Anders Lee from the Islanders, that's how I want Doc to play, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just get in front of the net. That Dobson goal to send the game to overtime. God, how good was Noah Dobson today, by the way? Holy Oof. Crap. That dude. Yeah. I want to read his line real quick. He had, where'd it go? Here we go. 26-14 of ice time. Obviously, the game-tying goal with 3 seconds left. 5 shots. 2 more shot attempts. 3 more of his shot attempts were blocked. 2 hits. 2 takeaways. And a block shot. That, my friend, is a hell of a line by Noah Dobson. He was awesome. But Anders Lee, that's the sort of dude I want Kirby Doc to model his game after. I know Lee is a winger and all those sort of things, but on the power play, he's parking his ass in front. He's causing traffic. He's causing havoc with his size and his willingness to engage. And that's how Doc played tonight. And this, it's make no mistake, this is one of his most effective games in weeks.
Yeah, and Anders Lee, like you mentioned, is just a tank in front of the net. He also does outweigh Kirby Doc by about 35 pounds. So maybe Doc needs to start listening to the I'm Fat podcast a little bit and kind of grow that caboose a bit if he wants to get to truly Anders Lee levels.
Well, we know how to help. Just call us, Kirby. We'll take care of it, man. We got it. We have plenty of tips for you.
This is an open offer from the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, where Jay will give Kirby Doc lessons in fatitude. I think would be a really good idea.
Here, if you feel shame at the end of the day, you did it right. That's what I would say.
Are you filled with a sense of regret? Then you did life right.
Oh man, it's anyway. It's a different show for a different day. I want to mention too, Dylan Strom. Scoring a goal, still, you know, Mark Lazarus wrote about him after last night's game against the Rangers and, you know, how they're working on his consistency, working on his skating, his decision-making, his play off the puck. And it's been getting better a little bit, but even Derek King, who is like the most optimistic guy in the world, was like, there's still a ways to go with Dylan. It's interesting how, and this sort of goes back to what we talked about the other podcast where my source told me that just the work ethic just hasn't been there for Dylan this year. And maybe the coaches are seeing that. And look, if a guy's going to be that way, the coach in the media is not going to be like, oh, he's playing great. He'll be fine. If he's disappointed, he's going to reflect that in the media. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of evidence that I'm a Dylan Strome fan. I still am. I still think he's got value. They just need to find out how to unlock him. And I think, you know, playing him with Alex DeBrincat is a good idea. They've got great chemistry. Spent most of his time with him tonight. So I'm keeping him in the lineup until he figures it out. And then if some trade package comes along and blows you away, then do it. But I still have faith in Dylan Strome, man. Maybe I'm the last guy. Maybe I'm the last one. But I thought he played well.
If they're not going to get offensive production out of Jonathan Toews and Kirby Doc, I mean, that door is still wide open for him to be a productive member of the top six of this team. I think that... Yep. If he can get that effort level up and get that production level up to areas that it was when he first came over to the Blackhawks and he was averaging almost a point a game, if he can get back to like 75% of that, he's going to have a consistent role in that group. And they need him to do that because they need somebody to step up in that way.
And the one other thing we haven't had a chance to talk about is the Tyler Johnson news. We'd all been sort of wondering what's going on with him. He underwent neck surgery.
They found
surgery.
Him in a shack in Montana. It was very odd.
He was building pipe bombs with Ted Kaczynski. Like,
I think we're dating ourselves.
Get back here, Tyler. What are you doing? It's like Brick when he's fighting for the other team in Anchorman.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like laughing at them as they make jokes about him, and they're like, get back over here.
Yeah. So last week, Tyler Johnson underwent neck surgery. Prognosis is good. Anticipated return to play is approximately 3 months. This is the identical surgery that Jack Eichel had. This is the surgery the Sabres did not want him to get. They traded him to Vegas. Vegas was like, yes, get the surgery because we want you to play. He did.
We would like you to play hockey for us.
Yeah, that apparently went well. So now Tyler Johnson is the second player in NHL history to undergo this surgery, and everyone seems to think it went pretty well. So there we are. It's 3 months without Tyler Johnson, and look, if they are, I don't know, it's probably going to be December, January, February, March.
Might be too late. It's a prognosis and a path forward. I think that's ultimately the most important thing, and this surgery does seem like it's kind of holding the key to fixing something with the neck that maybe was kind of chronic previously in NHL circles. And if he can get back on the ice and be productive, that is a huge boost for the Blackhawks, and you would love to see it.
Some other news around the league too before we wrap up. Bruce Boudreau is the new coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Travis Green has been fired, and I believe, if I saw correctly, Jim Benning and John Weisbrot are out as GM and associate GM. Chris Gear, I don't know who that is, steps into the interim role. But big changes with the Vancouver Canucks. You know what? You hate to see it, don't you?
Also, Malcolm Subban gave up 6 goals and got injured in his debut with the Sabres.
Oh,
so that was kind of a bummer to say.
Is he like hurt, bad hurt, or just like?
I don't think they've provided it. I haven't seen an update on it yet, but yeah, just that is not a, that's not a great way to start. That really sucked.
That sucks. I am really rooting for him. I like him.
Me too.
I hope he does well, but that's brutal. Oy, oh boy. All right. Well, hopefully he's getting better. Tavo had 2 goals in that game, by the way. Just looked it up. My beloved little man.
He has 100 goals with the Hurricanes now, right?
That's it for the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Jerk. No, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Remember, if you're looking for a book for the holidays, my book, The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Chicago Blackhawks, is available. I got 1 case to go, which I think is like 18 books, signed, personalized, shipped to you for $20. Go to madhousepod.com/book. We'll talk to you very soon on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast was brought to you by Fry the Coop, Triple Threat Sports, and by the Since In-Law Group.
How dare you bring that up to me during a show, jerk.